Blog Talk Radio.
Live on Blog Talk Radio. The Candid Frank Live Show.
Candid Frank Live.
With
about half of y'all motherfuckers on the hill.
John the Argo Boat Logo Granger.
Candid Frank Live.
Christopher Lion's Den Jones. Mike, the CFL is the best football in the world, Townsend. Kelly, Rough Rider Daddy Bale. Manasseh, Blog Talk Radio Show, Geber Medine. And Bruce, Hamilton Tiger Cat, 13th man, John Inch.
Live show. Yay!
You know what being down by 20 at halftime means? Sweet, diddly, jack, squat. Why? Because you can storm back. I know it, you know it, they know it. Tucked into their little beds tonight, they don't want to be haunted by you crossing that goal line. Well, it's time to give them a nightmare. And cross it!
And another, I guess, Monday show. And yeah, another Monday show. Joining me right away are Kelly Bale and John Granger, unless that's John Granger's answering machine. I'll find out in a second. Hang on. Hello. Is this John Granger's answering machine? I guess it is. Let's see if this is Kelly Bale's answering machine. Is this Kelly Bale's answering machine?
No, it isn't. You've got the real live deal.
I guess John's gonna be hearing this message again.
Yeah.
Anyway, I guess you're not there, right, John? The usual comment is that he's gone to get a sandwich.
Yes.
And there it is. All right, so how's it going this week? What's new?
Really good. Not a whole lot new. Did some volunteering out of my son's school this week and had a great time there. Just want to say thanks to all the people that volunteer to in the co-op program that my son's in. Just a great program and lets him maybe get a little bit of a leg up on the competition.
Express it a little deeper.
Well, basically what it is, Frank, is he has one half day of daycare every week on Friday. And it's a co-op program, so each student's parent commits to, you know, three, four days in the classroom throughout the semester. And yeah, we teach the kids a little bit about French education and teach them a little bit about the necessaries like manners and anything they may be struggling with for their age group, like potty training or sanitation and stuff like that. And the emphasis is fun, really. You know, there's some great toys there in the classroom and kind of a play structure for them to hang out on. And it's just all about bonding with others and learning how to learn.
Yeah, and be with other children. So exactly. Learning French as well, you said.
Yeah, for sure. He's he's registered at Mesami Pre-Preschool, and the reason why I did that is because a lot of my friends, I didn't go through French education myself, but a lot of the friends I hooked up with in high school had been to French education for elementary and continued at my bilingual high school, and let's just say they all have better jobs than me.
So should we change the pronunciation of your name from Kelly Bale to Kelly Ballet?
Ballet. Something like that, yeah.
Something like that. Yeah,
I
no,
suppose
it's,
that
it's,
would be the French variation.
Well, that's just me trying to be punny, and I don't know if it worked, but
yeah.
There you go. It was a sad attempt, but one nonetheless. Yeah, so it's not a big week for the CFL right now. Now everything revolves around contemplating who they'll be drafting. That'll be the next big thing that goes on. I mean, there still are a few good free agents out there.
Yeah, for sure there are. I mean, you know, they had a poll there on CFL is. I think the names were Caron Williams, Ted Laurent, McCune. Yeah, there's some names still. I mean, maybe not your top three, top five names, but some guys there that definitely made the top 10 anyways.
Absolutely. And
yeah.
The teams have been very quiet this past week. So I guess what we can do, usually we talk about what the CFL is doing, so I'll take a momentary break right now to give people an idea of what the CFL are doing.
For sure. Shh.
And somebody's going to give them a little wake up, you know, because well, they're there dreaming about draft picks. That's what they're doing. And you know, not that nothing is going on in the CFL, it just isn't a lot going on. Justin Goltz, whom, you know, to be honest, I think he was done a favor by being released by Winnipeg. They've thrown all their support behind Willie, whom they traded for, and that's not a surprise, right?
Well, you know, I guess it shouldn't be, but it is to me for some reason, just because, like, you know, yourself, you're a fan of the Argos, you don't focus on watching the Bombers. Myself, I'm a fan of the Rough Riders, I don't focus on watching them, but we do have the big back-to-back games in September, and you know, I thought Goltz played pretty remarkable this season, actually. And, you know, that's why it's a bit shocking that, you know, Willie, who played, you know, just as good and maybe a bit better, is you know, automatically the guy. Like, we're not going to see how it goes in camp. I mean, we're throwing everything at Willie. He hasn't stepped on the field yet.
There are options there for Goltz. I mean,
that's
you
right.
know, he could go to the Argos, he could go to BC,
Saskatchewan.
Yeah, sure, he's got options that he can go to, and he is. Mm-hmm. I think he's a good quarterback, and more than anything, I don't think he had the chemistry on the field that gave him the opportunity to look good. You know, and you're right, he looked good sporadically, but I think that was more or less a function of the team playing well sporadically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. It was kind of when they had turned the corner kind of at that Rider game where they beat us. I mean, they were one of the only blemishes on our record at that point of the year. And, you know, it was pretty embarrassing for the team, definitely, and definitely for some of the fans as well. So.
Yeah, you know, and that's one of the things that's important to remember, that teams play as well as the unit plays. You know, we sometimes, I think, we put too much onus on an individual. Like last week we were talking, of course, you know, Saskatchewan's running game, you know, it revolves around one player. It doesn't. It doesn't. And,
no.
And we knew last year that the running game was a bit weak. You know, with the injuries in the front line. And we both understand, and everybody understands, that it's more than just the guy carrying the ball. So, you know, and it's always like that. It's very easy to say somebody is not that good when things are going well, and it's just as even easier to say someone's not that good at all when things are going badly. Yet I don't think they deserve at either end of that spectrum as much credit as sometimes we tend to give, you know, those individual players as impacting on the game. You know, Ray sure. came to Toronto. Ray came to Toronto after people forget, you know, and a lot suggest that it was a steal by the Argonauts. There were a lot of people in Edmonton who weren't happy with Ray. And Ray was the poster boy for what was wrong. And it turned out after he left that it wasn't the solution. Getting rid of Ray wasn't the solution. And then on the other hand, you look at Toronto, and he looked like the solution to their problems. So, you know, a player just needs to be in the right environment, you know, to fare well, you know. So
yeah,
hopefully Goltz will find somebody. Goltz will find somebody.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, how's it going, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, Frank? How you doing, bro?
Eh, not bad, not bad, not bad. Wow.
What's up, Kelly?
So,
not a whole lot.
Same here.
We were talking about, first of all, the fact that Goltz was released by the Bombers. Was it a surprise to you? It wasn't, it was to Kelly, and it was a bit to me because, you know, he would have been the perfect backup in my mind for Willie. Not that they don't have anything else that could, you know, could function as a good backup, but then they turn around, you know, Hamilton's a very interesting situation when it comes to quarterbacks. They have, you know, two young guys that may or may not be the number one. I know everybody's talking about Caleros being number one, but they do have other options. Winnipeg could have kept Goltz in the same manner, but I guess it seems to me that they were doing Goltz a favor, you know, releasing him so that he could go somewhere else. And we were just saying that there are other options out there for Goltz. Do you agree?
Yeah, there's other options out there for Goltz. And really, I was surprised, too. But then if you look at it, man, I mean, he was there 4 years. And if you look at his four-year stats, man, they wasn't very good. That wasn't very good at all. But, you know, somebody was going to be the odd man out of Winnipeg, man, especially when you trade for Drew Willie, you got Alex Hall, and then you had Justin Goltz. I mean, I think Brian Brown was on their radar all along. They just had to find a type of deal that can get him.
So, and they did.
You know, and they did, you know. Because Brian Brown last year, if he wasn't on the injured reserve, believe me, the time that Lent Daniel Fever got to play, believe me, he wouldn't have been playing. Brian Brown would have been in the game because he was better than all them guys.
So the move in Hamilton starts to really give the indication that they're going to stick with what they've got. They've obviously released Brown on the belief that he isn't good enough to be on their roster, and we all agreed, and a lot of us felt that. excuse me, caught a bit of that cold. We all believe that what's going on with Hamilton is exactly, you know, a plan that Austin has, and he's going to go with the guys he's got. But is there a chance that a guy that who's been there before in Hamilton, Glenn, he's been sprung loose? You've got Glenn, you've got Goltz. These are guys that, you know, may not be starters, but they'd be assets on teams, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they'd be assets on teams. And I'm going to tell you, Frank, I believe, now, if you would have kept Brian Brown, and this is no knock against Lefevre and Jeremiah Mazzoli, but Brown would have competed for that starter position. And if you're going to give Caleros that starter's money, you really don't want nobody, man, to upend your supposed to be starter quarterback, you know, because that'd look kind of bad. You know, you get this guy starter money, and this guy comes off a season injured reserve and then upholds him, you know what I'm saying, and takes the starting mm-hmm. position from him. So they did Caleros a favor by getting with a Brian Brown, man, if you ask me.
Oh, okay.
For real.
All right. Well,
for real.
You know, it always seems that sometimes, you know, players are removed from rosters for, let's just say, addition by subtraction, and that sounds like what you're talking about. They're creating a better environment in the locker room and on the team with a better chemistry by trading him. Now, on the other hand, then you've got Winnipeg that brings Brom in, is he going to be able to compete with Willie the same way he might have with the Caleros?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's going to be a quarterback controversy in Winnipeg.
You think so, Kelly?
Yeah, like they also have Alex Hall remaining. And one guy I want to remind you about, and I'm not even sure if he's still on their practice roster, but Levi Brown was in Ryderville here for a couple of years, and he's fantastic too. I mean, you know, like they've got a lot of young talent there, so I'd look for a carousel.
So basically, what we're talking about is Winnipeg's probably going to be the team next year that that as they did this year, you know, rotated quarterbacks. They'll be the team that rotates quarterbacks this year, probably with a little more success than they had last year. I think one can only agree that the talent they have now is better than the talent they had. I think that Goltz was a great quarterback at times, but, you know, they need to have a new, fresh competition, I guess, and that's why they got rid of him.
And, Frank, like I always say, flashes do not get you nowhere in the CFL. You can show as many flashes as you want, being a good quarterback in flashes. It's not going to cut it.
That's true. Look at Jarius Jackson.
It's not going to cut it.
Mm-hmm. Look at Jarius Jackson. I mean, the guy had, you know, showed that he could start after waiting patiently, you know. All he had before that was flashes, and that's why he waited so long.
Mm-hmm.
Now, The team that you hear players continually talking about, things are going to get better, is Edmonton. Rodier now has come out and said he's looking forward to a great year this year, and there's a lot of noise being made in Edmonton that change is on the horizon. Do you think there's anything behind them saying that, you know, they expect a good year? Have they done enough, do you think? You know, we all know they've got a new coach, a new head coach. We know they've got a new coaching staff. You know, we know they're going to have a new attitude there. I mean, they're going to have to with the new coach. Is it going to be a clear upswing? I know we talk about who will make the playoffs and which two teams in the West will be left out in the cold. Do we agree that this will be a year that again there won't be a crossover? It'll be the top three teams in each division that make the playoffs?
Yeah, probably. I mean, you're looking at the East crossing over to the West now, right? I apologize to Eastern fans, but of the mindset that the West will continue to dominate maybe for another year as the East has been steadily rising for the last 10, really. But I would say that way, Frank.
All right. So, but you don't think there'll be a Western team crossing over into the East?
Well, that's impossible, isn't it?
What?
That's impossible, isn't it? Is it a two-way crossover?
I always assumed
I thought it was
just
one way. No, I'm pretty sure it's just one way to even out the 5-4.
All right, so,
mm-hmm.
Okay. Nope, I thought it was both ways. My ignorance.
No.
So, in any event, the bottom line is that we've got a Western division that has dominated as far as having the better records are concerned. Now, mm-hmm. if Winnipeg and Edmonton start to do something that they haven't done in a while, and that is play really good football, that dominance won't be as clear-cut because, you know, the points in the games that they play against each other will be divided a little more evenly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that there's a real weak sister in the East either. You know, I'm not sure about that. If there's a team that looks like they can be dominant, it looks like it might be Hamilton, but in my opinion, as an Argo fan, I have to tell you, I think the Argos are being underestimated,
mm-hmm.
simply because they haven't done much. But I think they're too busy doing stuff that isn't about the football team and how they play on the field. In fact, Barker, you know, realigned the stars, if you will, or moved the deck chairs around in the front office. So, you know, we all know that when that happens, there's a bit of a steamboat, you know, with the new guys coming in where they get a chance to, you know, start thinking about what they're going to do, much like what happened early when Jones arrived in Edmonton, and also when, Ottawa brought in their coach. You know, there was a bit of a five steamboat where they just basically started thinking about what they're going to do, and then a flurry of things happened. So in my opinion, we've got a few weeks, but I think there's going to be some stuff coming out of the Argos that are going to raise some eyebrows and hopes of some Argo fans, and it won't surprise me if and when that happens that's the case. Hamilton, by far, you know, by virtue of how they started last year, how they finished last year, look to be the team to beat in the East. And that's fair, and it should be understood that they are, in fact, you know, the defending Eastern champions. So as that alone in itself should give people, you know, at least the opportunity to give Hamilton the respect that they deserve, which is they were the winners in the East. But, you know, things are pretty, you know, we've had three different winners in the East the last 3 years. So you know, I mean, things could change again. So nobody's got a lock on coming out of the East yet, I don't think. Mm-hmm. As is true for the West, I think.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. Definitely.
All right, let's take a short break. When we come back, we'll continue our banter about the CFL this week, and maybe we'll talk about some of the things that we remember from the past year that we found, you know, amusing, entertaining, inspiring, if you will. Whatever comes to our mind, and we'll be back after that short break.
This is a League of A's and BC's. It's green and red and gold and black and blue. This is a league with two official languages and many unofficial languages. It's East versus West, wheat versus iron, love versus hate. This is a league where superstars are extraordinary and ordinary at the same time. It's a league of ice, of fog, of mud and wind. And for one Sunday in November, it's the nation's glue. This is a league as diverse as a country, a league of Jacksons and Kwongs, Johnsons, Moscas, O'Shea's, and Haji Razulis. This is his league, her league, and their league. It's my league, and it's your league. This is our league.
It is a first down for Ottawa, the football at the 24 of Saskatchewan. Clements coming back to throw again, looking, gets all kinds of protection, throws into the end zone for Gabriel. Touchdown!
In 1898, the Ottawa Football Club adopted the red and black of the Canadians that fought with Teddy Roosevelt's Rough Riders in the Spanish-American War. They also adopted the name. Et c'est à partir de ces débuts modestes que le rouge et noir a été associé à la ville d'Ottawa. The Carleton Ravens, Ottawa Fury FC, Ottawa 67s, and the Ottawa Senators have all adopted the colors and built their own history and traditions. Mais le rouge et noir se retrouve d'abord sur les chandails des équipes d'Ottawa dans la LCF. Des couleurs de Russ Jackson et de Tony Gabriel. To all who have worn the red and black. À tous ceux qui ont porté le rouge et noir. Who have battled on the gridiron on behalf of our great city. et qui se sont battus sur le terrain au nom de notre belle ville. We honor your tradition. Nous préservons votre tradition as we begin to forge our own. Et nous commençons à forger la nôtre. Like the blades that cut timber in the upper Ottawa Valley and the men who rode them down the Ottawa River past the locks of Bytown. We are balanced, dangerous, unstoppable. Nous sommes les Rouges et Noirs d'Ottawa. We are the Ottawa Red Blacks.
I always like that commercial. So, you know, Kelly, it's a great time to be an Ottawa football fan. You know, the thing of it that I find the thing that I find interesting is that Ottawa, after waiting this long to come back into the league to get a bye week, the first year they're back in the first game, the first week, I should say. Oops, did I lose Kelly?
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I was just mentioning the fact that Ottawa has a bye week the first week, which is kind of ironic.
Right. No doubt,
you
know, eh?
You wait all that time. To have a team,
no
and then
doubt,
you get a bye
eh?
Week.
That is kind of dirty by the league, I don't know, for those guys who have been waiting that long.
Here, you get a team, but you don't mind waiting an extra week, do you? I think that was more of a favor than anything else for Ottawa.
Oh, for because, sure. We know why they
because,
did it, and it was
yeah.
It was
we know why they
stadium
did it, and you know there are some nightmares in construction. I mean, nothing to compare with what's going on in Brazil with the World Cup. They're really behind.
Oh yeah.
Like, there's some stuff going
sure.
on there that's scary. Like, you know, scary as far
oh,
as
yeah.
you know, for the people who are planning the event, the people who run the event, the people who approved Brazil getting the. You know, that's something we have to remember. You know, when it comes to stuff like this, there are a lot of people involved in making something like a stadium or an arena be built on time. There's a lot. There shouldn't
oh,
be,
sure.
but there is a lot of luck involved, you know, and circumstances oh. literally beyond your control that you can't say are beyond your control, even though you might try, you know.
Oh, for
it,
sure.
It's difficult. So, yeah, so Ottawa, I find that amusing as far as the scheduling is concerned, that Ottawa will be forced to wait an extra week and still be a passenger. But, you know, that's like being the groom, you know, up there at the altar, and somebody says, she's coming, really, honest, she's coming.
Yeah.
You can't
well,
help
you
but
know,
worry.
At least it wasn't in the first week of the preseason, because at least they still have that game and the next one in Saskatchewan to look forward to.
Yeah, absolutely. And, yeah. and it'll be great for them. That'll be, you know, that first game will be incredible for
oh, sure.
The Red Blacks.
Absolutely.
You know, obviously, you know, there's going to be fun also for them when the Argos come in the fourth week. I know it's going to be fun for us because we're planning on going. So the
going.
July
yeah.
the weekend is going to be a lot of fun for our group. We're going to have fun going there. And immediately after in week five, Ottawa is going to be coming to Hamilton. Now, that's supposed to be, you know, after them opening their stadium, it's going to be interesting for them to be, you know, at another grand opening in Hamilton. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting year for Ottawa fans, to say the least. I think they have every reason to be excited. The one thing that does concern me as an Ottawa fan is... Not that I have any reason to suggest that they're gonna tumble, fall, and become an also-ran this year. But if they do come anything close to being that, you know, that's the sad part here, is that as an Ottawa fan, I would be a little more relaxed about, I talk about how great it looks for Ottawa, but it could lead to a lot of disappointment when, you know, and pressure on the team management because, you know, once the expectations soar, You can't bring them back. You know, once people start getting in their head before the season starts that Ottawa, you know, has a shot at the playoffs, and if they have no shot at the playoffs, that's going to be a disappointing year as it starts to either hit the mid part or the end of the season. What do you think, Kel?
Oh, you're absolutely right. Like, I mean, we don't want to stack too much pressure on these guys. They're going to be, you know, behind the eight ball as it is. I mean, you talk about O-lines and D-lines and how there's chemistry involved there and how quarterbacks and receivers have timing routes and, you know, like there's going to be a lot of growing pains for these guys, especially in those first nine games of the year. And, you know, you don't want to, you know, give up on these guys if they come out of that stint 2-7. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
and it'll be tough because, you know, the one thing that an expansion team has on its side usually is time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that may be taken away from them.
Yeah, these guys are running out already.
Does it seem like it? Let's welcome. Is that you, Christopher? Oh,
no, then, it's me, Mike.
Or Rob? Rob, are you here?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here.
Okay. It's Rob. It's Rob. How's it going, Robbie?
Very good.
We were just talking about Ottawa.
Yeah, I know. I was here and I was listening.
What do you think?
Is it possible
that, you know, we might be built? And when I say we, I mean all of us. Anybody who has any kind of football savvy, who's followed the CFL, I mean, let's face it. I mean, they've had a great opportunity to be very successful here. It's not like the same old expansion where you invite a guy in to spend a lot of money and then give him a crippling, a team that really has no business considering a playoff or success early on. This is a different situation. So is it possible that there might be a little more pressure on Ottawa to be successful, unlike a normal franchise that's expansion?
Well, it's going to be a lot of pressure because everyone's like, oh, yeah, Ottawa's got a new CFL team. We're going to be the best team around. We're, you know, it's like any other team that comes into a league for their first maybe 2-3 years, they finish, like, dead last or they finish, like, third or, you know, I'm probably saying this wrong, sticking something out there, but they won't be dead first place. You know, they got a good team, they got good coaching staff, they got good staff, they got good everything. But
better than previous expansions in almost any sport. I have yet to see a sport that garners the kind of positive feedback that the Ottawa Redblacks have had.
Yeah. Like Ottawa CFL football, the best year that I know of that Ottawa did actually do something was 1992 when they finished 9-9. They went to the Eastern semifinal and lost. But, you know, it's going to be different for every team that's, you know, coming in. They're not going to start off as a good team. They're going to, you know, take a couple years to gem.
Gotcha.
To be together.
So you believe, regardless of how much, you know, most people think that this is a good year to be an expansion team and a good year for Ottawa to come in for their Ottawa fans, it still is an expansion team.
Oh yeah. Definitely.
Okay, I got you. That makes sense. That actually makes a lot of sense. What do you guys think? You're back, Mike.
Yep. Me, I have to disagree somewhat. I think the signing of Henry Burris puts a little pressure on Ottawa to be a good team because a lot of fans are going to think back what Burris did with the Ticats for the last 2 years. I mean, if you think about the Ticats, man, when before Burris came, I'm not knocking them. The Ticats had a lot of holes that they had to fill because Ticats were down and out. Burris came in when they made the trade. Burris, it's like the Ticats was dead in the grave, and then just next thing you know, man, they popped up and they're in the Grey Cup. I mean, it's gonna be not a lot of pressure, but it's gonna be some pressure on them to perform or at least have a decent record this year. even though they are an expansion team.
While you were off the air and while you were working your way back on again, the comments that Kelly and I made reflect the fact that in usual years where an expansion team comes in, there usually is very little, if any, hope for them to make the playoffs or, in other words, have a good team. It's even before Burris came to Hamilton, I think the team had a better-than-expansion reputation. And now, as you say, with Burris in, now all of a sudden the expectations are even higher. And what Kelly and I were talking about, I don't know if Rob was in that part of the conversation, where we were discussing the fact that it's going to be tough being an Ottawa fan and tough to be Ottawa management, because everybody already figures this is going to be a great team. When what mm-hmm. you know the experts and the people that are watching the team are saying is that it's going to be a better team than normal expansion team. That's, you know, that's the reality of it, because they are an expansion team. And even as you say, you know, Burris coming in, he'll make players look better. Kelly mentioned the fact that there's a lot of, you know, practice and a lot of route management that's created by knowing each other, you know. So, you know, and it's not just about Burris knowing the receivers or the offensive line. Are you backing up, Mike?
No, that was my mic was. Sorry.
Somebody else backing up?
No, that was my microwave, guys. Man, I was trying to warm up my food, man. You
oh,
know
that's
what
your
man?
Microwave. Okay, cool. Yeah. Okay. Is it soup yet? No. So basically, you know, I think I forgot my thought. Anyway, why don't you take over, Kelly? You know where I was headed, and you pick up with what we were talking about. So that we're all on the same page and understand where we're at.
You know, what Mike said was very right. You know, like they are going to be a better team than your typical expansion franchise. I think the only, you know, pressure the Ottawa club should entertain is the pressure to, you know, market their product properly and successfully and create a buzz and get excitement going. And you know, part of that is getting a few wins and stuff like that, but it's more about timely wins and you know, competing. You know, that's what they need to do this year, and that's the pressure they should put on themselves is to do just that.
So if let's say they have a certain amount of juice in the bottle, and I don't mean that in the illegal substance type, I just mean like, you know, if they got mojo, right? Their mojo has to be working when they're playing the East for sure. They can afford the odd extra loss in the West or against the West.
Yeah.
It's the East. If they're going to feel good about themselves, you know, it's beat the other teams in the East, and that'll help in your marketing and or, you know, fan excitement, right? Like losing against Saskatchewan while playing Saskatchewan as the defending Grey Cup champs is a good promotional tool, like having them come in. Losing to Saskatchewan won't leave any scars, but losing to Toronto, Hamilton, or Montreal in a year where you think that, you know, even though we're an expansion team, that could create a little scar tissue, but still, it'll create that rivalry thing. It'll wake that up pretty good too. So, regardless,
for sure,
that's how I feel about it anyway. How about you, Mike?
Yeah, bang on.
Okay, sorry,
What's going on? Oh, I'm sorry, Kelly. My bad, man.
No worries.
You can take over.
I
had my mute button pressed. I hit it by mistake. As I was saying, you know, and you're right. Having losing against the East, you know, it's gonna create a little sourness. But at the same time, you know, if they lose against the West, it won't be as bad as losing against the East in your own division. But what can really put them on the market with some surprise wins against the West teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just imagine you pulling out a Friday night shocker out there in BC and Vancouver in BC place.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or you going to Calgary, and that Stallion ain't running from down that field because you done did a surprise blowout against the Stampeders. I mean, come on, man. That'll put Ottawa on the market, regardless if they lose in the East. If they go to the West and pull out a couple of surprise wins and then come back and pull out a couple of surprise wins at home against West teams, man, you good. You good.
I think Ottawa's first home game is going to be – is just going to be blown out crazy.
Me too.
I have a funny feeling it's going to be like totally jam packed.
Well, we've all heard of Ryderville. Well, that's going to be Hyperville.
Rob, you know the Senators super closely. We've all heard about your position at the stadium there. This is going to be bigger than any Senators, anything to do with the Senators for the last, you know, God knows how long, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, at least since they made it to the Stanley Cup Final, let's be fair about that.
Yeah.
That was pretty exciting for Ottawa.
That was in, what, 2004?
Yeah, a while ago.
Against
a while ago.
No, 2004 was lockout, 2005.
Well, it doesn't matter. The point is, we're talking 9 or 10 years. What's the difference, right? That's a long time in history, and you know, so much so that in Ottawa they're suffering from a team that has been the only Canadian team to make it to the second round in the past few years, but they really haven't garnered any respect for that. And essentially, that's what we're talking about here for the Ottawa Red Blacks. As Mike said, you know, beating the West will garner a lot of respect, and it will from the people that really know the game. Because, you know, as much and as hard as I'd like to believe that, you know, the Argos are on even footing with the rest of the league, which they are, I guess, the West has been dominant, and the Grey Cup has been, you know, won in the West more often in the past 10 years than it has in the East. And you know, we've had up and down years for all three teams in the East. You know, if you look back at the last 3-4 years. There's not a team in the East, and that includes Winnipeg while they were here, that has had a consistent 4 years, like, you know, like a Calgary or like a BC or like a Saskatchewan, right? You know, along with the consistency of poor play by Edmonton, you know, it meant that those other three teams consistently were in the playoffs and consistently battling for first place, not just making the playoffs. So, yeah, you make a great point, Mike, that Ottawa can make a lot of hay winning a game against the West. But really, any game that they win this year is going to be excitement for their fans, and rightly so. And, you know, the big important thing is that they have to be competitive, right, guys? I mean, win or lose, the fans are going to expect this team to be competitive day in, day out.
Oh, yeah. If Ottawa wins 6 games this year, man, that's going to be a good season for them. If they win 6 games, that'd be a good season for them, being an expansion team. And just imagine 6 wins and 2 or 3 of them wins against West teams. Man, that's a successful season.
I think a defeat of Toronto would be up there, along with Hamilton, you know, and Montreal. You know, any defeat they have against their opposition in the East is going to be exciting. You know, they're back in the CFL. You know, great football. I like the way they've put the team together. They've done a great job of bringing in veterans. They have some young studs as well, and they'll have more after the draft. I think it's fantastic what they're doing. In closing, about Ottawa.
Not done.
No, and nobody's done. Nobody's done. You weren't here for when I was talking about the Argos. A lot of people might... the Argos might be lulling a lot of people asleep because they're not doing very much. But really what they're doing is, we've talked about it over the past few months, about them being purchased by MLSC, the new stadium at BMO, you know, where that will be their new stadium down the road, about it being, you know, restructured, fabricated, altered to suit football and soccer at the same time. So, you know, I happen to think that they haven't made the moves they're going to make. Their front office has been rejigged. Barker rejigged the front office. So, you know, a lot of change in a lot of places this year. It's amazing how unsteady the past couple of years have been for quite a few CFL teams. They've gone through a lot of changes, and not always for the bad, as Hamilton proved, sometimes for the good. Where do you see the immediate changes, guys, moving along from Ottawa? Where do you see these changes, where will they be the most beneficial? Will we see a kind of Hamilton improvement in Winnipeg, in, of course, Edmonton? Which of those teams and Ottawa, which of those three teams that have had the biggest change, Ottawa by virtue of being new, and the other two by making, you know, wholesale changes of their coaching staffs, which one do you think has the leg up
me personally, I'm thinking Ottawa has a leg up over all of them because you see, Winnipeg. What I'm talking about? Well, I'm sorry, y'all.
I hate when
Winnipeg
has
a leg up.
I hate when somebody argues with himself and loses the argument.
Yeah, man. You know, I was up here doing two things at once, like I always do. You know, I'm multitasking. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Listen, yeah. I won't ask you to walk and chew gum at the same time, Mike. That'll be too much to ask. I get it.
Right. Right. I think Winnipeg go have the leg up, man, because I think with them finally finding the right quarterback for their system and bringing in a couple of big name receivers, you know, Nick Moore, and they still got Mike Sims Walker. I mean, and they signed Will Ford. So they slowly gelling. All they got to do now, if you get that offensive line the way you need to, the way they need to block and play. I mean, Winnipeg is not a bad team, man. They don't give up. They didn't give up none of the games that they played. They played down to the final end. And what you have in your new quarterback that can fit your system, and you think you got him, man. I mean, Winnipeg Blue Bomber fans need to be excited right about now, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think you're right. And guys, isn't it really what was wrong with Winnipeg is that really, honestly, their biggest problem last year wasn't the players, wasn't the quarterback, wasn't the coach, was the confidence. They lacked the confidence, and I don't think they were rightfully, doing that. I think they were a better team than they even realized. And Kelly,
yeah,
in the show before you guys came on, you know, they played really well against a pretty good football team known as Saskatchewan in the Banjo Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
They did. They dominated us up and down the field for four quarters. And, you know, one thing my dad and I always focus on is the three facets of the game, offense, defense, special teams. And we beat every single team on special teams this year with the exception of Winnipeg that day. They toyed with us. So
yeah, and
they got
so
a lot
they
of
have
blocked.
They
oh,
had
for
it.
Sure.
You know, they had a
you're
good
absolutely
team.
Right about the confidence, Frank. You know, sometimes when you get too high, you know, the bigger they are, the harder they fall, right?
Absolutely.
You know, and you know, Winnipeg was a very high team for whether they should have been or not. They had a lot of swagger, as they like to call it, and they
yep.
completely lost it and fell flat on their face over two seasons.
You know,
I mean,
I think also, Kelly, there was a lot of pressure for them to produce because of the new stadium. You know, the excitement
sure.
of the fans, you know, that kind of stuff. That's what – that can overwhelm you. And I, as a team, you know, individually, maybe not so much. But as a team, it can overwhelm you because now you're putting a lot of pressure on each other. You know what I mean? You're trying to play well for the other guys because it's a big deal, right? And they weren't able to handle – in fact, they were playing better at the beginning of the season on the road than they were at home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is not right. You know what I mean? That's not the way it's supposed to be. So maybe there
yeah.
was a little too much pressure, and then they ended up, you know, basically with the Avalanche heading towards them, and unfortunately the momentum of the Avalanche was faster than they could stay ahead of it. You know what I mean? And they basically just, you know, succumbed to the pressure and, a bad season, you know, tends to, you know, overwhelm you because it gets really hard to right a ship. I don't, and I think they suffered from that. Winnipeg and Edmonton, as far as I'm concerned, they suffered from the same disease, a lack of confidence, a poor start, some bad breaks, and a bad season ensued. And you know, that's the kind of thing that Ottawa has to avoid.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. And you know what else kind of hurt Winnipeg? This, when they signed Max Hall. And it was just big old hype about Max Hall coming in with this great arm, and they think they found a quarterback, and all the hype that they thought they were getting. It was just hype. And when they seen that Max Hall wasn't the answer, everything went downhill. Because you see, they started shuffling quarterbacks every week. I mean, it was like a game of cards, man. Who you gonna put in this week?
Was that
Tim Burke?
Do you think you can leave that at Tim Burke's desk?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
As the head coach.
You have to. Yep. Absolutely. He's the guy with the call on game day, and he's in charge of his coordinators, and he basically has to check off their list, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And he failed to call out his coordinator several times, and, you know, I really want to like Tim Burke, but, he's responsible for...
Kelly, you're not alone. And before he came to the Argos, I admired the fact that he was a guy, he did not, you know, especially in a season that saw GM reach over the head coach in Edmonton and berate a player. Here's a guy, Tim Burke, who showed a lot of loyalty to a lot of players, and literally they let him down, you know. And he did not
have
a bitter bone in his body that was visible on the field of play or any time around a camera. So, you know, you got to, you know, he was, I think I remember one time where he was asked, so what do you think of the way the team's playing? I said, they're playing terrible. You know, what do you want me to say? You know, he's a pretty straightforward guy, you know, and it wasn't
he was
angry about it. He was just saying, hey, man, we suck, you know, but he didn't say we suck, but, you know, he might as well have said that, you know, and that's the way it works. You know, and unfortunately...
That's why I like him.
and I got that, and I could feel that, too, from you. I feel the same way. I liked him because, you know, he was the kind of guy, he is the kind of guy that you know he isn't a blame giver. You know, he's not one of those types of guys. Which, you know, in a team concept, that's a necessary thing, right?
Mm-hmm. For sure. And when they shuffled all them quarterbacks, if I'm not mistaken... Last year with Winnipeg, man, I think I've seen a total of maybe, what, five quarterbacks. If I'm not mistaken, Levi Brown was on the roster.
Yep.
You had Max Hall. You had Justin Goetz. You had Alex Hall. And you had, what's the kid they got from the Indoor League, Arena League? Oh, my God, Boltis.
Boltis.
They had Boltis.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah, now that you mention it, there were a lot, weren't there?
There were a lot of quarterbacks.
Yeah, it was a carousel.
That was
and that's not good. And that's not good. You know, a carousel's got to get you somewhere, not keep going around in a circle. And it seemed like it was going more around in a circle.
Mm-hmm. That's the point. Is carousels only go around in a circle. You want a roller coaster, if anything. And that's what I think Calgary's in for this year, is a bit of a roller coaster. But at least they won't be on the old carousel.
No, you're right. You're right, Kelly. It's going to be a roller coaster ride in Calgary.
But they've got some good quarterbacks there. It's just going to be a question of how well they're playing. We know who's going to end up playing. We just don't know how well they're going to play for how long.
I give him about three games, he'd be the starter.
For me, that's what it is. Is it's injury concern for Tate? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and also if it, you know, the thing that I see happening is that if, let's just say that Tate and now I forgot his name. Played for Montreal. Help me. Yes,
McPherson.
Please. Thank you. If the two of them are healthy, two of them are playing well. I don't want to be Bo Levi Mitchell, and Calgary's going to have a hard time convincing him to hang around if those two look like the front runners. I think Bo Levi Mitchell will not be a Calgary Stampeder if. Both those quarterbacks have success in the early part of the season, and there'll be a bit of a sweepstakes to see who gets Bo Levi Mitchell.
That'd be easy. You know what? I'm going to tell you. If Bo Levi Mitchell want to be gone, there's only two teams I can see him going to. Really?
Which two?
It'd be BC or Ottawa.
Really? Why do you say BC and Ottawa only?
BC, because I'm going to tell you right now, if Lule gets hurt this year with another shoulder injury, he's done. And the guys that they got backing him up over there, you got Buck Pierce, and then they just signed John Beck. Come on, man. John freaking Beck. Man, please. I wouldn't even sign him to hold my clipboard.
You don't like John Beck?
No, John Beck, no. I'm going to tell you guys, John Beck, when he was signed with Washington, they brought him on the NFL Network show, and I mean, he came on there with all this hype that he's the star, he's going to be the star, and he's going to beat out anybody because he's so confident. He got beat out by a second stringer, and they cut him.
You don't think he learned something from that experience?
Yeah, the only thing he learned is to keep his mouth closed. That's about it.
Well, will that help?
No. John Beck is more hype with his mouth than with his arm. Seriously.
Okay.
I never liked John Beck when he played for Miami. Never.
Kelly, you got anything on that?
Just that if Mike's right and that's the type of guy he is, arrogant and kind of maybe he's a bit like Drew Tate. I mean...
The guy is super arrogant. And as far as Ottawa go, I mean, what guy to have, young up-and-comer guy coming to your team better than Bo Levi Mitchell, man? I mean, you might have Thomas DeMarco on their way in the wings, but I think Bo Levi Mitchell, man, game is really higher than Thomas DeMarco. And there's no knock on DeMarco.
Mike, think about this, though, for just a second. Are you going to leave Calgary to go to Ottawa for a lateral move? Like, he's not going to start in front of Burris, and he's definitely not even going to start in front of Glenn because that was what was last year in Calgary, right? So, I mean, you know, like, you're not going to move laterally across the country
believe
to Ottawa.
That, Kelly, do you believe that
Calgary.
Glenn will be in Ottawa? Do you believe that Glenn will be
in
Ottawa?
Well, I mean, I'm just saying today he's there. You know what I mean? Like,
as it stands right
two.
Now.
Yeah.
Well, Glenn was the guy I was going to talk about next because since we're talking about quarterbacks and that and the word carousel, you know, right now, you know, Glenn is the poster boy for the carousel. It's just a question of where he's going to land, right? I mean, and you know, this is a guy who rightfully felt that, you know, finally I get a chance to lead a team. Finally, I don't have to worry about competing with somebody just because I'm competing with them, you know, and being given a chance to show what I can do. And bang, they bring in Burris. You know, I'm interested in seeing where Glenn lands because that's going to be a big signing for a team. I think Glenn's going to have something to say this year. And wherever he gets that, you know, blank page, that clipboard, he's going to write an interesting story this year. I think that guy is fired up and, I think he's ready to do something big, and if he ends up in an environment, which I think he's getting some input into, I think he's going to flourish this year. I really do. You know, you never know. He could end up in Toronto. Ray gets hurt, and Glenn wouldn't be a bad option for a team that has Ray as a quarterback built around a Ricky Ray, because I don't think he's any worse than Ricky Ray as far as throwing percentage is concerned. He just has a little bit of a leak in his game, but I think he'd be going to the right place where that leak would be plugged. You know, he has a bit of a problem with buckling under pressure. I think with Milanovic, he'd have a great supporter and a guy who does nothing but support his players. That's the kind of guy Glenn needs. But, you know, again, that's only speculation on my part. I'm just saying that he'd have a welcome home here in Toronto as far as I'm concerned. There's a couple of other teams.
Hey, and you hit it right. You hit the nail on the head, Frank, because I said either BC or Toronto. And it makes more sense for Glenn to go to Toronto. So just in case Ricky Ray does get hurt, man, he can go to Ottawa when Ottawa comes to Toronto and sling that ball over that field, man, and go home with a W. Man, can you just imagine Burris going against Glenn and Glenn get the best of Burris every time they play? Oh, my gosh, man. Ottawa fans be looking like, what the heck is going on?
We've got a few of those. You know, we started by talking about the scheduling and about how Ottawa will have a bye the first week after waiting for it how many years to have a team again, and then they're going to take a week off the first week, which must be really frustrating, as I mentioned earlier. But can you imagine the games this year where you have, just talking about quarterbacks, Ottawa in Hamilton with Burris at quarterback against Kolaros?
Oh, that'd be...
That's going to be an awesome... You want to talk about hype.
Mm-hmm. And the thing about it is, with them two teams, it's going to be more pressure on Kolaros to pull out the W than Henry Burris to pull out the W.
Exactly. And you know, that's the kind of game that, you know, Burris is going to want to win really bad. You know, he's going to want to win that game really bad. You know, we got Willie back in Saskatchewan.
Yeah, it'll be good. I mean, you gotta know that there's a lot of calling for him last year, as there always is. I mean, there's people calling for Tom Burgess when Austin was here. So there's definitely some incentive for him to pull off a miracle at Mosaic.
Yeah,
oh, believe me, when Willie got traded, man, the first thing he did was look at the schedule to find out when I'm going back to Saskatchewan. Because he's looking at his chops for that game.
Would it be fair to say as well that, you know, we're not talking about quarterbacks that were in the even though Willie was in the background, he really wasn't in the background, because until Mr. Durant won the Grey Cup, even Saskatchewan fans, as much as you want to be loyal to him, might have had a question and knew that if he didn't do it this year, he wouldn't be back and Willie would be the quarterback next year. So, you know, these are players, and I'm not saying that's a common thought in Saskatchewan, because I really don't know what a common thought in Saskatchewan would be. But what I'm trying to say is that, like Burris, Willie is somebody that was a staple on that team. And when he goes back, we're not talking about a guy that was a third stringer and, you know, never started for the team. You know what I mean? And that's what this year is going to be really interesting about, when you have guy like Burris, Glenn, these guys have moved around. The year before last, I should say, we had Ray going back into Edmonton, which is always exciting, right? But other than that, you know, we've been pretty stable as far as quarterbacks are concerned, and as recent memory, it's been Glenn and Burris have been doing the dancing and been on the carousel. You know, the rest of them, until Ray came to Toronto, it hasn't been that much of a carousel.
Right. I mean, you swap quarterbacks, and then next thing you know, Glenn be the top pick to go to Ottawa. Then you sit here, and then you sign a quarterback that actually been swapping for each other for the last couple of years. Come on, man.
Amazing,
seriously.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Really? You brought Burris in? Really? That's what you did? Oh, come on. Because that's what Glenn's thinking.
And the thing about it is, Frank, no disrespect to getting Henry Burris, and everybody know I'm a Kevin Glenn fan, but just imagine if Kevin Glenn beats him out in camp for the starting quarterback position. The only way he won't beat him out is because of the money.
I'm glad you said that, because I was about to jump on that train real quick and remind you that money, general managers and coaches have to make decisions, and then they have to stick to those decisions, especially when it comes to, you know, like we were talking earlier, you know, starting quarterback money, right? You got to justify that contract. But then again, there's been a few guys who've been pretty brave and gone against the grain and been very good at it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And you know what, too? And now that I'm sitting here thinking about it, BC, excuse me, guys, Toronto was on my list. But, hey, there's one team that we never mentioned that might could go after Glenn.
Montreal?
As far as insurance policy, and that's Montreal.
I gave that some thought, too. You know, if they get him for backup money, yeah, it would be crazy for them not to, actually.
Mm-hmm. That's a good insurance policy, just in case Troy Smith kind of slip up a little and comes in and start to struggle.
Well, let's not forget, guys. Let's not forget. In 2012, it's very easy to be an Argo fan and remember that we won the Grey Cup. And that was great. It was a wonderful celebration for us. Let's not forget that if it wasn't for Kevin Glenn, Calgary wouldn't have been in the Grey Cup.
Exactly.
So the guy can bring you there. You know, he didn't have a great game at the Grey Cup. You know, he did some stuff that was predictable for him, and sad as that is, that's probably part of the reason why he hasn't been able to really get a grip on a starter's role. I mean, you know, but still, he brought them to the Grey Cup. Neither of the other quarterbacks were playing well, and Glenn came in and picked up the pieces of the Calgary Stampeders and brought them to the Grey Cup. I mean, whoever is signing him, you know, because of what he did after he made it to the Grey Cup, they're going to get a bargain, is the way I see it. And Calgary had a bargain. You know, he's gone now, and Ottawa ended up with the bargain. In my opinion, he was going to have a great year in Ottawa. I just can't believe how snake bit this guy is when it comes to finding a starting role.
And you know, I know Gillian feel like he's been stabbed in the back, because I would too. I mean, I really would, because I watched the video when they announced the draft of Kevin Glenn. He was at home in Detroit.
That's
right.
He
was on his laptop, and he was so proud, man. The kids were back there yelling. I mean, it was like a big old party over there, man. And then next thing you know, here come Burris coming in Ottawa. Next thing you know, he's signed. I mean, that's a sour taste in your mouth, man, more than eating some Sour Patch Kids. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, no, I heard that interview too, and he sounded like, and he said, I feel like it's the first round of the draft, and I was picked first, you know?
Yep,
he was very
exactly.
proud of the fact that he got picked off. And, you know, that pride can turn around really quick when they bring somebody else in that obviously they have more faith in than you, you know? So,
yep.
You know, absolutely.
He looked like the Kevin Glenn that I saw in Saskatchewan about 10 years ago, you know, during that draft coverage. And just, geez, I really hope he does go to a city like Montreal, because what a great city for that family to land in. I mean, being from Detroit and all, it's not that much further than Ottawa. So, yeah, I really hope that works out. I mean, that's a scenario that I really hope plays out for him.
Well, you know, wherever he goes, I repeat, he's going to have a good year, and there's going to be, you know, there's going to be a fire in his belly that's been put there, and it's going to be up to the coach that coaches him and the offensive coordinator that coaches him, directs him, hopefully to see that fire and give him an opportunity, because that's the best story that's brewing right now. I don't think there's a better story out there to be made than the one that you get Kevin Glenn, where he finally gets to start for a team and has a great year, so that everybody will go, well, you know, he was a lot better than people gave him credit for. Don't forget, he's the reason why Calgary made it to the Grey Cup in 2012. He's always been a great quarterback, and it's nice to see him to get, you know, because he'll be a good feel story for sure, you know, if things go well for him. I can't see anybody talking to him and not seeing that kid in him come out and be caught, anybody interviewing him or talking to him. Like we said about that moment when he was drafted by Ottawa, it was like he was a kid again. And Kelly, you're right. You know, you could have subtracted 10 years off his life, and you could see the 10 years of burden that was removed when he was selected by Ottawa. And I wish him the best. I really do. And that's why, as an Argo fan, I'm more than happy to have him be part of our team. I would not consider it problematic to have Kevin Glenn here with the Argonauts. I happen to think that he's a class act, and I know I already know that, you know, our number one quarterback is a class act too. So, you know, I think they'd get along fine.
Oh man, Ricky Ray and Kevin Glenn, 1-2 punch. Come on, man.
Oh,
that's a head coach's dream.
Yeah, game over.
I'd like to see it. You know, I'd like to see it. Joining us now is Christopher Jones. Probably just locked up shop and maybe even finished with. No, he's probably working on the barbecue, aren't you?
Hey, coach,
not
how you doing?
Finished the barbecue. Finished with the barbecue. Got the chicken and the potatoes sitting on the plate here, waiting for me to scarf it back. But I thought I'd come and say hi first.
Well, we appreciate you saying hello. Your dedication is always appreciated.
Excellent. Where are we today? And I know I missed half of it, and I apologize greatly for this, gentleman. I had to pick up some hay for the horsies.
Hey, listen.
Oh, man.
Don't worry about it. Real quick, we lost somebody. Oh, I guess we lost Rob. What we did and what we've done so far, and you can pipe in. First of all, we were talking about Ottawa and the situation that they're in, which is their fans have plenty of reason to feel confident that their team is not just an ordinary expansion team, that they actually have a good chance to be very competitive this year. Mike reminded us that Burris is the quarterback. So, but what my point was and what I wanted to raise is that will it make either overconfidence in Ottawa for the team or way too high expectations for the people in the stands?
Oh, interesting.
I think neither. And the reason being is I honestly think that, you know, they want to come out and they want to do well, but I think nobody is stupid enough to think that they're going to come out and win the Grey Cup in the first year. So I don't think that their expectations are really high, although, you know, that really could happen, and that would be like a score, wouldn't it, for the league?
Oh, man. The Ottawa,
but, you know,
the Ottawa Red
Blacks
holding up the 2014 trophy, huh? Yeah.
Wouldn't that be cool?
That'd be awesome.
I think the fans want them to be competitive. If they can break even, if they can get a 500 season, I think they're going to be really fortunate this year. And I
that'll
think
be
500
their great
season.
Cup.
Yeah, I
that'll
think 500
be their
season
cup.
This year will be better than most teams this year. So I mean, that would put them in the playoffs.
And that would have the fans over the moon.
Without question.
The next
I mean,
thing
I think
we
they're over the moon right now just having a team. I think they're so excited about having a team, it doesn't matter what the team does. It's like when Winnipeg Jets came back to Winnipeg. I mean, was the fans not just so excited just to have their hockey team back?
Absolutely.
It's the same
with
Ottawa. They're going to be ecstatic that they're getting their football team back. And whatever it does, it doesn't matter. They have football back in that city, and they're going to be excited about that. So to come out and be competitive, even marginally competitive, is going to be a huge victory for everybody there. So I don't think the expectations are going to be too high in Ottawa that nobody's, like I said, nobody's stupid enough to think they're going to come out and walk away with the season. But as long as they don't stink it up like Winnipeg did last year, then I think everybody's going to be happy.
Yeah, we touched on pressure, and maybe that some of that pressure that was felt by Winnipeg with the new stadium, they might have buckled under that pressure. We talked about quarterbacks. Another thing we're talking about is, Ottawa, here they are waiting for a team to come back to Ottawa, and they have to sit the first week out, and they get the bye week the first week. How frustrating must that be if you're an Ottawa fan?
That's hilarious. I also heard you were talking about Kevin Glenn going to Toronto. Is there more of a rumor, or is that just
Frank saying, you know, it would be nice as an Argo fan to see Glenn land here. With all no disrespect to Ricky Ray at all. I love Ricky Ray, and I think he's a team player, and I think he's a great quarterback. But if the Argos want to really do something this year, they're going to need a little more than Ricky Ray at quarterback, in my opinion. As an Argo fan, I'm hoping a couple of those guys, other than Caleros, are a lot better than people realize, and they will prove, you know, that they're better than Caleros this year. Other than that, it would be great to have Glenn to lean on, you know, to have those two veterans steering the good ship arc.
Without question. I mean, that's the same thing, reason why I've said I'd really like to see Glenn in BC backing up Lule. I mean, Lule and Glenn would be a fabulous 1-2 punch coming from the West Coast. And the same thing is that he would be a great mentor for Troy Smith in Montreal. So I've been harping on those three teams, Toronto, BC, and Montreal, for a long time. I mean, Calgary was in the mix before they got Adrian McPherson, but as soon as they got Adrian, there's no way Glenn's going back there.
You're right. And the thing I said was, and I think the guys agree, because I think all of us like Kevin Glenn. All of us believe that he's been given a raw deal. All of us believe maybe it would be nice to see that guy get a break. And I believe that this could be his year, depending on where he lands, what coach he has, and what you know, what environment he falls in, and how that environment develops through the season. You know, he goes to a team where maybe he's not the starter, but something happens to the starter, much like what happened in 2012 in Calgary, and he gets another opportunity to show what he can do. It could be a good, you know, feel-good story for him this year. He could be one of the feel-good stories for sure.
That's why I'd like to see him in BC, because, quite frankly, I think he could be the Grey Cup winner. He could be the MVP in the Grey Cup this year coming up. If BC actually does what they should do and put it together, take it to Hamilton in the Grey Cup, that would be wonderful. I would love that, because Lule is still on the table with that arm right now. I was looking at some training videos of him recently, and he's not coming together all as well as I would have hoped by now.
Is that his throwing shoulder, Chris?
Yeah, that's his throwing shoulder. He's gone under surgery this off season, and it's his third surgery. So, you know, I don't honestly think Lule's long for this league. He's my quarterback. I love him to bits. I think he's one of the best in the league. But that being said, you know what? Three surgeries is a lot for one throwing shoulder to recover from. I mean, I know Rob Baggs has come back knee after knee after knee, but, you know, that guy's a beast. So,
and a knee is different than a knee is different than a shoulder.
Yeah, well, especially for a quarterback.
And you know what? And you know what, Chris? I said the same thing. I said right before you got on the show, if Lule takes another shoulder injury, man, after that surgery, he's done. He's done.
It's game over.
Game over.
They need somebody like Glenn. I mean, the big thing now that Glenn is probably, you know, contemplating staying in Ottawa. Right now Glenn doesn't know who to trust. So making a move,
yeah,
if I'm Glenn, I'm not going to trust anybody.
I would not stay in Ottawa if I was him. Absolutely not.
No, neither would I. But again, the point I'm making is less about him staying in Ottawa. It's more about where he goes needs to be one that has a little more guarantee on, you know, and I think he might have learned a lesson. He might say, look, I want starter money, and put the pressure on the team that takes him to make him, or at least have that extra impetus to make him a starter because of the money that he's getting.
That's the reality, because he's under contract. He has no negotiating point right now. If Ottawa trades him to BC, he's going to come in for the same money that he was with Calgary last year.
He's got 1 year left,
under that
right?
Contract.
Right, so he's come in for one year. But what if he, again, this is what I think might, if I were him, you know, after what's gone on with him, I'd want a second year in the contract, and I'd want it to be one that says, you know, I'm a starter, you know. Or
you're
going to
sit at home?
Or you're
going to
sit at home?
Home? Yeah, well,
no,
the thing about it is,
Kevin Glenn, I mean, he might end up asking for his release if he can't get a trade. And if they release him, believe me, he's not gonna be sitting at home long. Phone is gonna ring, and he's gonna be going somewhere else.
Come on,
they ain't gonna give him the money, whoever it is.
You said it yourself. There's at least one team that wants him. It doesn't necessarily have to be BC. It doesn't have to be Toronto. It doesn't have to be Montreal. But I guarantee you, there's a team that'll want him, and there'll be a team that'll get him. And I guarantee you, you'll get a raise. I guarantee
you'll get a raise. Seriously, who else wants him out there? Is Saskatchewan looking for another quarterback, Kelly?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we brought in a guy other day,
is he a guy that Saskatchewan will be interested in? I think that's the real question that Chris is asking.
You never know.
Edmonton is not. They got Riley and Nichols. Calgary is full up. Hamilton is full up.
Hamilton is not full up.
Now, if Kevin Glenn happens to be released, I guarantee you LaFever will be gone from Hamilton, and Glenn will be in Hamilton.
Yeah.
They would do that.
Come on, man. Who you got?
They don't have a veteran quarterback. They don't have a veteran quarterback, and I can't believe that Austin,
thank you, Frank,
if he had the option, I'm not saying that Austin's going to go out of his way to get a veteran quarterback, but you don't look a gift horse in the mouth either, you know, and Kevin Glenn would be a gift horse, man, to Hamilton.
Sure. The teams that he left, he did not leave them with bad taste in his mouth. He just got traded. He didn't leave them with bad taste in his mouth. So if Kevin Glenn was to get released, if I'm Austin, I'm looking at my three quarterbacks and like, okay, Caleros, LaFever, and then I got Mazzoli. Mazzoli and LaFever, one of these guys is expendable for me to get Kevin Glenn. I need a veteran backup just in case Calero struggles.
And we know Mazzoli is Austin's boy.
Thank you.
So it's LaFever that becomes expendable, if anyone.
Yes, it will be.
Which is why he got most of the work last year. Mazzoli trusts Austin.
Yep.
You know,
and if Kevin Glenn was to go to Winnipeg, I'm going to tell you right now, Alex Hall would be the odd man out.
They released Golds today, eh?
Yes.
Yes, they did.
get, talked about that at the very beginning of the show. Bulls caught a break. You know, I mean, you know, he wasn't their guy. He's another guy that could end up somewhere as a number two. What do you think? Go ahead, Chris.
He'd be in BC.
I don't want him.
No, man. I mean, he's not a bad quarterback. He just needs a little grooming. I mean, you need to be behind a good veteran, man, to learn. And come on, man. Winnipeg ever had no good veteran since Glenn was gone.
I'd rather grab B.J. Hall over Gould's.
Gould's has
B.J. Hall won't be available.
Right in the mix. You know, I mean, he's not going to want to settle either, man. Like, I mean, he was a starter last year in the CFL, so he's not going to be looking to move down. Like, but the reality is that maybe his only option is to take a maybe possibly even a third string role on a top club where he maybe foresees, you know, like some problems maybe, and that might be Ottawa. I would suggest.
He's not in the same league as Glenn. You know, he doesn't have the cachet that Glenn has.
Mm-hmm.
He is potential.
Kelly, what's the difference between Gould being the starter in Winnipeg and going to, say, backup in B.C. or Toronto, or somebody being a starter in Toronto and B.C. and going to third string in the NFL?
Yeah.
There's not much difference.
Not much difference.
You know, you're really moving up. From Winnipeg to Toronto.
But we're not talking about from only we can't just talk about from the quarterback's perspective. We have to talk about the team's perspective. And if you're a team and Glenn and Gould's are out there, I don't think Gould stands a chance. He's the second option if he's an option at all.
Oh yeah, sure. He's not even on the page.
Yeah.
Right.
Because you only have to give Glenn another year.
Goats is an NFL quarterback, man. He's an NFL quarterback. He's not a CFL quarterback, and that's his problem. That was the problem for Max Hall, man. Max Hall is an NFL quarterback. Remember during the season I said if Max Hall can convert his plan from an NFL standpoint to a CFL standpoint, he'd be successful. You can look at Max Hall and tell, man, he was not comfortable with that fast pass rush. Them fast linebackers coming bearing down on him. I mean, come on, man. They was coming after him, man, like dogs running to the food, like to the food stand. I mean, they were coming down on him, man. He was a typical NFL quarterback trying to play NFL style in a CFL offense. You can't do that, man. Not in the CFL, you can't.
Not at all.
So it's a difference. Like you said, man, some guys' games are made for certain leagues. And Max Hall is not a starter in the NFL by far. I mean, he's not a starter. Second string, third string, just like Justin Goats. Second string, third string in the NFL, but they're not CFL quarterbacks. The arms are not strong enough.
That's kind of why I'm excited about this guy that signed with Saskatchewan this week. Was he's from the Red Raiders down there, and they definitely run a CFL offense.
Yes, sir. I know exactly who you're talking about. What's the guy's name? Oh, my gosh. Doge or something like that? Something.
Yeah, Doge. Yeah.
Yeah, Doge. Oh, yeah.
Joining us now is Bill Howe. He just couldn't hold himself back. He's been enjoying listening to the program, so obviously he's itching to say something. You got the floor, Bill.
Hello, gentlemen.
Welcome, Bill.
Welcome, Bill.
Hi, guys. How are you tonight?
Really good.
Is that Bill Howe?
Yeah, how are you, Mike?
Hey, what's up, Bill? How you doing, bro?
I'm doing really good. I'm with Liam the Hitman Howe.
What's up, Liam?
Nothing much of this. He just finished 2 hours of football training.
Nice.
Yeah, it's minus 20 outside, so he's indoors right now.
Okay.
It sounds like you're in the car. Are you in the car?
Yeah, we're in the car. We're heading back
back home. Was it a long drive?
I was listening, not half hour, I was listening to you guys on the radio on a Wi-Fi, but I thought we would intercede when Liam joined us.
Perfect.
Awesome.
Hey, for real.
And the comment, did you want to make a comment? Did you hear something that required your commentary?
Well, I did see that there was another announcement that there's gonna the city and MLSE have pretty much come to an agreement on the new stadium, and that okay. that timing seems about right for the Argos.
We were saying that in the next few weeks and early this month, in the next couple of weeks, something's going to be announced, because it can't wait too long, because then once hockey hits playoff stride, nothing at least in Toronto is going to take a front seat.
That's right. And you know, we still need $100 to $200 million upgrade to that facility they've got right there. I mean, it's a disgrace if we'd be the ninth best stadium in the country.
There's nothing other than it has to be as good or better than Winnipeg. That's where, I mean, Seattle is the flag bearer for the New Age Stadium that is fan-friendly, also one that allows the fans to be impactful on the game. And basically right. everything else now is measured up against that, because we're all concerned now with the fan effect, if you will. We're aware of it. Winnipeg, in fact, brought that information here to Canada. If Canadians didn't know it, we know it now after Winnipeg. And with as bad a season as Winnipeg had last year, the one thing that was a big win was that stadium and the way it played, if you will.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Well, yeah, you know, you didn't go to Rome and find the smallest Colosseum in the Roman Empire.
No.
By a Toronto-centric point of view, it's just bleeding out of me, Chris.
I don't see MLSC making that kind of mistake, especially when they were talking about the big thing now is because of the Olympics. But before even the Olympics, the LED seating, John told us about, they were working that into the engineering plans. If you look right now, Saskatchewan, I think it is Saskatchewan that's building their stadium. And now they're taking a look at and including the same kind of LED lighting where the score is, or Edmonton, I should say, in hockey. Edmonton Stadium, the one that they're planning yep. on building, is going to be a high-tech variety, like the Olympic Stadium where the hockey games were played, where the score yep. of the game is blasted on the roof, you know, that kind of stuff. And I don't see a city like Toronto, and you can be a Toronto hater, or you can think I'm just, you know, again, being Toronto-centric or being Toronto-egotistical. Let's not forget that when the city built, even though it came in at way over budget, when the Dome was first built, it was an amazing structure with a roof that moved, which was unheard of, at the scale that it moved. You know, so Toronto has a history of, we don't go very often, but when we do, we go big.
Oh yeah,
uh-huh.
And I agree with
yeah.
you,
yeah. Power, baby.
You won't be able.
You can count, right?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You can count on the city paying for this. MLSE is not going to put a dime into it.
No.
The spin doctors are spinning this. And
no
of course,
kidding.
Yeah, we're going to get paid back, but no, it won't be on MLSE's nickel.
Mr. Howe, it would be precedent-setting if MLSE ever put any money into a stadium of any kind.
Absolutely. I don't know if you, Frank,
they
you remember
haven't.
How they stole the ACC from the Beatles?
Absolutely. Yes, they did.
Yep.
Yes, they did. They got it for a song because they got the teams.
Yeah, and what better time, guys, to have Mayor Ford in office in Toronto? I mean, he's fully behind anything football.
Yeah.
Although
well,
he doesn't wield
anything,
that much
right?
power. Although he doesn't wield the kind of power that maybe would be advantageous. I think the important thing to note, and I think even the city fathers and mothers, if we can call them both that, is that it's not like the Toronto sports scene has come, you know, often and for a lot. The last time any kind of major money was put in by the city, major, because I don't consider BMO a major investment by the city. It was necessary.
Yeah.
They took down the stadium. The deal was they needed another stadium there, you know. The last one was, in fact, you know, back in 89 when they opened, or was it 87? 87 or 89 when they opened the Sky Dome. You know, so it's not like, you know, the coffers have been, you know, pushed into service at a regular interval, right?
Right.
Well, I'm 56 years old, and this will be the second investment in a football stadium in my lifetime.
And that would be mine as well.
Mm-hmm.
When the Blue Jays came to Toronto, they destroyed our football stadium and made it totally inappropriate for football, outdoor baseball. Dome was a solution. And the Sky Dome was going up when a whole bunch of other not-so-great stadiums were being built across the U.S., and
mm-hmm.
that's a generation old now. So, I mean, back to single-purpose stadiums.
Yeah, unfortunately, it was. It became, in baseball terms, it became an old-style stadium, and then, you know, the single-use thing came into effect. But to get to your point as far as spin doctors are concerned on spinning the situation, it doesn't even have to be spun. I mean, the reality is they're not going to go to the city and say, we want you to build us a brand new stadium. It'll be a lot easier for them to sell the city and the taxpayers on a refurb, you know, on a build on top of what we have already and you know, end
right.
up with something much better than what we spend. That's the hope, right? And, you
yeah,
know,
and
that's...
And They'll lowball the budget and surprisingly go twice over budget.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that does tend to happen a couple of times ever, all the time.
Olympic, you name it.
Well, we've had a pretty good history here in Toronto. As much as the Sky Dome ended up costing more, the more that it cost was more or less the improvements that they added in at the end. You know, it wasn't because of what they started to build cost that much more. What they started to build morphed a little bit, and the roof and that kind of stuff later became more of a reality, and the prices for that came in a little later in the equation. So it did look like it came in over budget, a lot more over budget. But I think also they reached for the stars a little bit. And I was there the day it opened, and the leaks from the roof were incredible. I thought it was hilarious because
right.
it was a closed roof and it was leaking. Now, my wife and I sat in the nosebleeds right under where the track rolled, and I got to tell you, I was totally amazed by the fact that that roof actually moved. And to me, a leak was small potatoes, you know. And I
right.
guess that's what I'm saying about BMO, right? They got to do something special. You know, MLSC is going to. I think they are in a roundabout way. I think they're going to end up. Like you said, paying back some of this money, will they ever pay it actually? But the fact remains, they got to make an investment. Rogers, as a partner with the Sky Dome, took that stadium on the premise that they would have a home for the Argos and the Blue Jays. They, in their own infinite wisdom, being Rogers, decided they just want to have a baseball-only stadium, so they should be on the hook a little bit for the money that it takes to renovate, you know, BMO Fields.
Right. Right.
But as Mr. House says, they won't.
Well, yeah. and if I remember correctly, 25, 30 years ago, that stadium was not going to be finished on time, number one. And number two, the media was convinced the roof would never move.
Right.
It was an engineering impossibility.
Which it wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
No.
It came right out of, you know, the irony of it, and what I love the most about that is that when I was reading, I'm in construction. I was a site manager back in the day, and the reality is it was simple, and that's why I thought it would work. You know, it was just basically, ironically, in Canada we love this guy named Sir John A. Macdonald. Mike, you're not a Canadian, so you probably wouldn't know who he was. He was our first prime minister. And his dream was the biggest. What created Canada was a railroad from one end of the country to the other, and that was the motivation for him. And that's why he became prime minister, our first prime minister, because he had a dream. The irony is that the system for moving that roof is literally a train track. So as far as I'm concerned, that stadium is as Canadian can be.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, so
sure.
Bill, what about ideas? I was mentioning that Glenn could come to Toronto. Would you be comment on what you think of Glenn coming to Toronto, Kevin Glenn.
Who's that to? Frank sent that out to me?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think that'd be outstanding for us. We certainly got good use out of Zach last year, but I think we kind of got lucky there. And I'm kind of curious whether or not he's going to be able to replicate next year in Hamilton what he did in Toronto, unless Ken Austin sees something I don't see. But I'd love to have Kevin Glenn here in Toronto. Two veteran quarterbacks to the quality of Glenn and Ricky Ray. Outstanding opportunity.
I think it's important. The reason I didn't mention is because I'd like to see Ricky once again air it out. I think he aired it out because he felt confident, and Milanovic felt confident with the backups that they had, and it would be and that's I think would help because the last thing I want to see is doubt on who's number two, creating a little too much pressure for Ray to remain healthy, and you know all our eggs in one basket. I don't want to see that. As an Argo fan, I really feel the need that we need to have some depth. If they feel that you know Jared Harris is the guy. Or, you know, they have somebody in mind that will duplicate or replicate what Caleros did last year, then I could see them not going with Glenn. Otherwise, they need a guy like Glenn that they can count on. Ray is not a young man, but he is a great quarterback. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, the team wouldn't skip a step if Ray went down and Glenn came in.
But he's not that old either.
No, he's not.
Everybody keeps thinking Ricky Ray's this old guy, and he's not. He's just bald.
That's it.
How old is he, Chris?
He was born in 79.
So that makes him 35, right?
35.
Yep.
I don't know if that, you know, in football terms, I don't know. I know in the CFL, we've had, you know, we just had a guy retire that was in his 40s. Can Ricky Ray replicate? You know, Calvillo's durable nature?
As long as he don't take all the major hits that Calvillo took towards the end of his career.
Calvillo didn't take any major hits in his career. That's why he played till 42.
Right, but you know what? What started it is when Calvillo took a couple of major hits from them linebackers coming off them sides. Man, when you start seeing Calvillo getting hit, that's when his play started going down. Calvillo just started taking a couple of licks, and when he took a lick, he might come out. You know, he was always slow getting up. That's what started right there.
But Christopher's point, as we've heard a million times, is that Calvillo's favorite receiver was on the sidelines or in the stands.
And I agree with Christopher on that one.
In the crowd.
The 13th man.
The crowd.
So, you know, that helped, you know, create some durability
In Montreal, the 13th man was in the crowd. In Saskatchewan, it was on the field.
Oh, come on. That's a low blow. They've overcome that. They've won the Grey Cup. I think we can forget about Montreal winning the Grey Cup in the fashion that they did. Right, Kelly?
But they did it twice since then, didn't they?
One thing I definitely wanted to say is one of the nails in the coffin for Anthony Calvillo was he was injured last year in a loss to the Riders, and that may have been one of the last hits that he ever really took. Can't remember who hit him.
Ricky Foley.
Oh, yeah, it was Foley, yeah. And, he left the game on a stretcher, basically, and Yeah, he basically has never been the same since. And, you know, sad to say that happened against my team. But yeah, those are the things that happen in a career, and it finally caught up with him.
Yep. And
Saskatchewan's
I just
been really good at QB killing. Yeah, for sure.
Well, they are a bit of a tough team. I mean, isn't that part of the reason why they won the Grey Cup?
Yeah, our motto in the 1970s was Saskatchewan tough, not Rider pride.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, if you're Saskatchewan tough, you can display some rider pride. One can lead to the other.
Exactly. Yeah, and they don't make people like they do here because I don't know if you guys heard, but with the wind chill on Friday night, it was minus 65 here. So, you know, it builds intestinal fortitude, and when they say Saskatchewan tough, they mean it.
Nope, we lost Bill Howe.
Oh, wow.
No.
Wow.
Have we?
No.
Nope.
Oh, we lost. Oh, we lost Chris. Oh, maybe Chris, I haven't seen a message from him to call. Usually Chris wants me to call him at home when he has this issue. He has problems with his internet once in a while.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll let you know if I get the message because he'll send it to me. I just want to make a message, say something real quick, Frank. For all you football players that's out there listening, April 27th, Toronto Argonauts will be in Houston, Texas, having free agent tryouts. And while you're trying out for the Toronto Argonauts, you will also be trying out for Team Texas of the SDFL League, the State's Developmental Football League. So y'all got some dates, April 27th, 9 a.m. Registration starts, 10 a.m. tryout begins. Houston, Texas, April 27th.
And you could become a future Argo. Liam's a little young yet to try that one.
It's in Houston, Texas.
But where? At what facility?
Facility is Amateur Sports Park, 12131 Kirby Drive, Houston, Texas, 77051.
There you go.
And actually, you're getting a 2-for-1. You're trying out for the Toronto Argonauts, and Team Texas are also having players try for them at the same time. So you're trying out for the Argos and Team Texas at the same time.
That's a good deal.
Good deal.
Great opportunity. Welcome back, Christopher.
Thank you.
I didn't wait for you to call me this time.
No, that's good. I was jumping up and down throwing things.
I called you twice. You didn't pick up the first time. Okay, so... Bill, I wanted to ask you a question, aside from Glenn. From a perspective as a voyeur of the game of football in Canada, Ottawa, we were talking earlier, like your take on how dangerous a situation is it for the Ottawa Red Blacks because of the mutually agreeable situation that they find themselves in. In other words, a great opportunity to have a great team with overconfidence and leading to disappointment for Ottawa football fans. What advice would you give them? Because they're going to have to be restrained a little bit. As much as they're, you know, where most people are characterizing this with a great year for a team to be expanded in the CFL and the way the team was treated, will that build up, unfortunately, a little too much belief in the team, for example, making the playoffs and being disappointed if they don't?
Well, I think that management's got to lower expectations and exceed them.
In other words, bring expectations down to a reality that is,
I think you still have to sell the sizzle. You know,
yeah.
This is entertainment, but you have to not set expectations too high that you can't meet them.
Right. So you're speaking Christopher talk. So when you're at the barbecue, the sizzle's nice, but you got to have some steak too.
Always got to have some steak.
Right? The sizzle's great, but you got to have some steak. So some of the steak we were talking about, exactly. Some of the steak we were talking about, Bill, was, every victory they have against the Western team, especially the Big Three, will be a big thrill for, I mean, the obvious is the wins in the East. But as Kelly pointed out, or was it Kelly? Well, it doesn't matter who pointed out. It wasn't me anyway. Pointed out the fact that beating a team in the West is going to be good news, and that'll be some sizzle for Ottawa and their fans. I think they'll really devour that to keep on the barbecue theme. They'll really eat that meat.
Oh yeah.
I think they're going to struggle this year. I don't think you can put a team together in 1 year. And, I mean, it'll be a great experience. But I don't expect the challenge in the East.
Yeah.
They will be.
Bill,
they will be challenged.
Bill,
go ahead.
That goes along with what I was saying. I predict them to have about a 2-7 first nine, and then if they can you know rally the troops and stay together and keep that locker room, they could probably eke out another 3 wins down the road. I mean, maybe 4 even, finishing with 6. I mean, that's not impossible. But you know, you're absolutely right. They're not. I mean, barring a miracle, they're not a playoff team.
6-12. That's what I say.
And they
no.
will be
right there, Mike.
And but they will be the big hope that they've got to hope for, the sizzle that they've got for this year is being competitive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They can lose by one game every week for the next 18 weeks. As long as they're competitive, they got moral victories, man. You know what I'm saying? As long as they're competitive.
Yeah. And like I said earlier, guys, it's the only thing that they should concern themselves with as an organization is just doing that marketing job that they need to do in the first year and selling the fan experience, selling the stadium, selling the merchandise, getting the vibe going in Ottawa, making it that awesome weekend event that it is in all of the other cities currently. And you know, that's what it's about this year. It's more about that than anything on the field.
Bringing football back to Ottawa. Bringing football back to Ottawa is the big story. And that's what they have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the right people to bring it back. I don't think any of us I'm sorry, excuse me. I don't think any of us would be far from wrong in suggesting that this is the best management group going back a long ways in Ottawa when it comes to CFL football.
I think this is the best management team in about 3 or 4 teams that are currently in the league.
I mean, come on, man. Who wouldn't want to have Jeff Hunt as an owner of a sports team in your city? Come on, man.
I mean,
seriously.
I'd take Ottawa management over Edmonton and Winnipeg right now, hands down.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're in good hands.
Going back in Ottawa's history, you're talking about guys like Horn Chen. You know, like, how crooked was that guy and kind of backhanded? I mean, that was an awful scenario for that market.
Yeah, Ottawa deserves a decent ownership. You know, that's the toughest part about being a fan. I've always maintained, and I will continue maintaining it till the day that I die, sports franchises are run by winners and losers and mediocre people. Mediocre people don't win championships. Losers don't win championships. You need winners to win championships. And it doesn't take long to figure out that you have a winner in your city. And as much as you want to be loyal to franchises that have, you know, people that manage them that don't know how to win, because really that's what we're talking about. Does the organization that you're relying on to supply you with good entertainment, do they have the ability to create competitiveness in their market? And when it isn't like that, you basically have a media that keeps second-guessing what's going on. And what I see in Ottawa and what I see in a lot of CFL cities, as much as Chris said that there's some worse management, you know what? It's quite true. But I don't think there's a league, when you consider there were only 8 teams last year and 9 now, that have such a, you know, a competitive bunch of owners. Yes, there are ownership groups and teams that are suffering, but all it takes is to bring in a good management guy that knows how to put together a winner. You'll know right away. I mean, for example, Jones. We're going to find out this year if he's a winner or not. We'll find out this year. We'll find out if Ottawa's a winner. They don't have to win the championship. It's how well they start to play. Great people do great things. It's just that simple for me. You know, you don't watch Harold Ballard win a Stanley Cup. You know, after 25 years of him owning the team, I think the road was laid out for the league. So, you know, a winner wins, a loser loses. That's life.
Yep.
And I think Ottawa's in good hands.
Yeah, Ottawa's in real good hands. And see, what happens in Ottawa this year is going to tell the tale on expansion in the next couple of years.
Well, you're friends with the commissioner, Mr. Howe. I mean, we're talking the commissioner feels that we're probably 8 years away from expansion. Is that the way? Am I reading him wrong?
Sorry. Just walked in the door.
No worries. I was just saying about expansion. Well, we all agree that the Eastern Division is going to be expanded by one at some point. We can disagree as to whether it's Quebec or down east, if you will. Regardless, the commissioner sounds, he's making sounds as though it's going to take about 8 to 10 years before that happens. Do you think it'll be that long?
I don't think so. I think it'll happen far quicker than that. I'd like to see 3 to 5 years.
You know what, Bill? I was going to say 4 years.
What's that?
I'm with Bill with 3 to 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be just Kohan managing expectations.
Exactly.
I think 3 to 4 years is a little too soon just for the fact that there is not a viable ownership group put together in either Halifax, Moncton, or Quebec City at this point in time, nor is there a stadium. And when you have the two number one components that you need to make this happen aren't in place and aren't even close to being in place, then you've got some serious issues.
Go ahead. You go ahead, Mike.
No, that wasn't me. I don't know who that was.
Who was it?
That was me.
You sound better now. Okay.
I think it's interesting. There's an interesting development out there. I think Halifax does need a stadium for St. Mary's. I think they just condemned the existing one. So there may be a window of opportunity where, once again, they can combine a dual-use football stadium. St. Mary's has got a...
Montreal style.
St. Mary's,
they can get the government money if they put it on the university.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, and I've been following that and everything else, but we're still not even in the planning stages on that stadium. The other one's still standing. So, you know, by the time you get architects, engineers, and planning and get it going, you're 3 to 4 years before, you know, you're 2 years before you can break ground, never mind actually build a stadium in 3 to 4 years. I think 5 years is a nice round number for Halifax having a team. And I think between 5 and 6 years, we will see a CFL team in Halifax. Without question, it's going to happen.
Well, Chris, I don't totally agree with what you're saying because while, you know, stadiums aren't cookie cutters, they pretty much are. They're templates. And as far as putting together a stadium to build a stadium, I think it's less about design, more about money, and that's the part that's going to be hard to overcome. And as Kelly said, if it goes towards the university and it helps in, sometimes the government cares about non-professional sports, it makes it a bigger sell, especially in a country today, coming back from the Olympics. And Canada has changed its opinion. And I'm speaking on a national perspective. We have all bought in, and I think a lot of Canadians that matter have bought into the fact that it's great to win at the Olympics. It's great to be, you know, good at sports. You know, that's the one thing that BC, the gift that BC gave us, that experience. It gave us a lot more pride in sports. And I think it's a lot easier to sell sports today nationally and locally than it was, say, 4, 5, 6 years ago. I believe that we've got a window here where, Eastern Canada is a financially improving sector in Canada. And, that's one of the ways that you can say that you've arrived, you know, having something, you know, like building a stadium, like bringing in the CFL. And, you know, we think of the CFL and hockey, but there's other things that can come in as well. I think local pride is a big deal down east, and I think there's the motivation there to do it. And I agree with Bill. 3 to 5 years, not hard to believe for me. And I think the pressure's there on the league because they have 9 teams. It's in their best interest to bring another team in.
It can even out 5 in the East, 5 in the West. So Ottawa's expansion is going to be a very important year for the CFL this year.
as far as expansion go. They're going to look at Ottawa, and once they see if Ottawa has the great numbers or you know, overpass subpar numbers and bring in the crowd and generate, man, it's going to open doors for another team in the East. It's going to have to. I mean, a 10-team league.
Absolutely.
And in the CFL, man, please, man, you can't beat that.
No way.
I think they've got an expansion template for the CFL. I think what they did and how they did it with Ottawa was outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll do the same thing again.
What we've ever seen before. Of course they will. They'd be idiots if they didn't.
Yep.
Well, it took 7 years for that to come together, so maybe that is the best option time-wise.
That's what I'm thinking. I think we're going too quick if you think it's going to be in 3 to 4 years.
I agree 3 to 5, and here's why. I agree with you guys that it took 7 years last time. But, you know, they've created a roadway now. They've created a roadmap. They have more confidence. They're not feeling around anymore to figure it out. They have a great idea how to make it work. And I think that, you know, the 7 years is more to do with learning the roadwork that they need to do, the roadway that they need to be on. And I think they can go a little faster this time because they have that history. You know, I totally agree that 3 to 5, and I happen to think that the biggest, most important thing is that right now there's a lot of hype in the CFL, not only because of the game, but because of the Americans are buying into this game, you know, on their television networks, and to keep the excitement going, and there's nothing that builds perception positively than successful expansion, and I happen to think that 10 teams would be great. I happen to think the Americans are buying into it, and television, not the cities, you know, the fans are the primary concern for generating capital. I think. That's what I think. In my mind, the CFL has proven to me one thing. The gate isn't as important in the CFL as the TV revenue, which opens the door for the East and raises a lot of answers that are necessary to make that move to go East.
I mean, that's what the NFL proved, and we're finally getting to see the TV revenue from the fallout of how well they've done down there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and how well the game is broadcast in Canada. I mean, you know, a lot of people would argue that how TSN does our games very comparable or maybe even better than an NFL broadcast on Fox.
And we love it. And we love it. Canadians love Canadian football.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when we started this show and when we first had Mike and Manasseh come in, both Americans, and I don't know if you were there yet, Mike, if you'd made it on the show before, at that time, but we had a conversation. John and I were telling Manasseh that you're underestimating how much Toronto loves football and CFL football in particular. And he found it hard to believe because he looked in the stands and assumed that that was what Toronto liked. You know, that was the defining thing about how much Toronto likes Canadian football. We tried pointing it out to him, and then the subject came up of television, and he thought that nobody literally watched CFL football. And John and I both brought to his attention that CFL football runs up dead against, during the season, against the NFL, and outdraws the NFL in Canada. When he realized that, it was a shock to Manasseh. Of course, as an American who doesn't understand how loyal we are to our game, I think it was a waking moment for him. I don't know if you were around then, Mike. But that's something that surprised me.
I was listening to the show a lot, and I had made a statement about that. I said, heck, the CFL outdraws the NFL in the States.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Come on. Just because a lot of people don't mention it or be in the site saying they watch CFL is big here in the States. Like I told you, back then when we used to watch it on CBC, Toronto Argos was our home team in Detroit.
Yeah, all along the border.
That's all we used to see. CBC, Toronto Argos football.
Yep.
I was watching Toronto Argos as long as I can remember, man. I mean, look. Because my dad
used
to
watch
it. Well,
aren't you lucky? And then they took it off television, and you couldn't see it anymore. That's the problem we had here. Well, we're down to our last 30 seconds, gentlemen. Bill Howe, it was a pleasure. Nice surprise to have you call in. Wish Liam the best for us. I heard him in the background while you were in the car.
Good night. Good night, Leo. Good night, buddy.
Christopher Jones, thank you again, as usual. Always a pleasure to have you on, and never worry about how long it takes you to get on the air with us.
I miss it.
Well, and Mike and Mike Townsend, of course, always appreciate your input. Thank you again for helping us have a great show. And Kelly Bale, thank you as well.
Thanks.
Good night, guys. Thanks. Take care.
Good night.
See you Friday.
And Rob Emery, thanks to you, too. Have a great night, everybody. You've been listening to Candid Frank Live on Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, see you.
Take care.
Good night, Cleveland.